5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Game day starts before kickoff. Get ready for the big game with help from Menards. Find great deals on sofas and recliners to keep guests comfortable all game long. Score big savings and stock up on game day goodies. Shop a variety of snacks and drinks to keep your party fueled up. Make Menards a part of your game plan. Shop in-store or on Menards.com and save big money.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. That is right. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty this week. He is on vacation, taking you for the next 2 hours. And we have a very, very rare night, Mafia. This is so bizarre. For the first time in what seems like months and months and months, and maybe there was a spare night here or there that I can't think of, no sports on the board tonight. Nothing to watch. Nothing to bet on. Everything, Moff, we're going to be doing tonight is looking ahead to things that are happening. It seems like we've had so much every single night. And here we are, Moff. We get set with nothing on the table tonight. Pretty weird.
Yeah, definitely weird. This is usually a night that you see, you know, the middle of July or like right after July 4th, you know, the All-Star break in baseball and you have nothing going on at all. And just like when they have like the ESPYs and stuff like that. But now all of a sudden, right, here we are sitting in the beginning of November where we're used to having NBA, NHL. And we don't, you know, we had them in the summer and everything got pushed back. Everything got, you know, messed up and very odd predicament here.
Yeah, it is. But we still got a lot to do tonight. We'll talk about an extremely quiet NFL trade deadline today. Man, did they hype us up for absolutely nothing. Nothing happened with that. We'll do that. We got Packers 49ers coming up for the Thursday night game. That will start week 9. Packers probably missed an opportunity today to get a little bit better. We've got the Jets Mafia, Joe Douglas, saying that Adam Gase is part of the solution. I hope nobody actually believes that.
Lies.
We'll take a look at some early Week 9 lines. And Mafia, it is happening tonight. I got Maction tomorrow night, baby. The Mac is back tomorrow night. 6 games. We've got some plays for you. We'll talk about that. We'll get into Deontay Wilder. Me and Moff wanted to dive into that a little bit more. More excuses about his fight with Tyson Fury. And the MLB, Mafia, somebody did do something tonight. MLB announced their Gold Glove winners. They picked a pretty good night to go out and do that. Could anybody care any less? So Carver High, Mafia, here with you. Farrell on the bench. We're in for Scotty. We get things rolling right after this.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and the rest of the week as he is on vacation. 844-843-6879, the number if you want to get involved. No sports on the table, live sports, we should say. No live sports on the table tonight, but there's plenty to talk about. And today, Moff, was the NFL trade deadline. And this was something that we talked about, it seemed like, for, you know, a good couple of weeks. We thought, because the last few years have been exciting. There's actually been some somewhat decent names and players that get moved in the hours and days before. And we did see a little flurry, like at the end of last week, when you saw Dunlop get moved and you saw Everson Griffin get moved to the Lions. But Moff, I mean, yesterday and today especially, a total bust as we got to 4 o'clock. I mean, Isaiah Ford going to the Patriots from the Dolphins. I mean, unless, as we were kind of joking about this afternoon with Coast to Coast, unless you think Isaiah Ford is going to become a Hall of Famer like everybody does when they get traded to the Patriots, really nothing that you can sink your teeth into, Mafa. A big-time bust for us here.
No more if you're going to go off the recent history of the Patriots receivers. He's just going to get injured the first time he steps on the field. Like, that's all their receivers do now is they get hurt. They don't catch passes. I mean, it was a complete bust. We talked about all these guys, all these teams that could use help, you know, where they might go. And I think, you know, we were kind of a victim of what we've been a victim of in the MLB trading deadline lately is that, I mean, not that the NFL trading deadline is ever a big, you know, to do. And there's never really many moves at all that are of any kind of value, but now that you have an extra team in there in the playoffs, and maybe even two extra teams, if they start losing games, we have this plan that we heard about yesterday from Mortensen, that we get eight from each conference. A lot more teams are in it then. So if a lot more teams are in it, then there's a lot less teams selling. And, you know, it's going to raise the price up. It's going to be too much. And I think that's the situation we had here. You know, Houston has so many guys that they could have traded off. Even just to the Packers. They could trade off the whole receiving corps of the Packers. Pick one guy and just give us an offer and we'll see if it's good enough. They didn't do it. You know, there's the Cowboys, even though that, well, maybe because that division is terrible, they're like, hey, even though we're down to our third and possibly fourth or fifth string because our third was so terrible quarterback, we're still in this division. So we could still end up in the playoffs. So Jerry Jones didn't, you know, trade off Alden Smith. It's just so many things that didn't make sense. You know, the teams should have made moves and they didn't. I don't know if the price was too much or if it was just that they all said, hey, we still got a chance at this. Why not go for it for no good reason? And that's why we got pretty much nothing.
Yeah, and you heard the excuses from a lot of the people that cover the league, the insiders, etc., that say, well, you know, all the teams were scared because they're not sure what the cap is going to be next year. They're not sure what kind of money they're going to have at their disposal. So it's hard to take a guy who you know you're going to have to pay big money next year or already makes big money next year. When you don't know if the cap is going to go up and down. So that hindered some of the bigger trades that we've seen in the past few years. You mentioned the one that really, you know, when you look at all the deals that, you know, a team needed to make, it kind of felt like the Packers, who we'll talk about a little bit tonight because they are playing the first game on Thursday and they've got a COVID situation themselves. Packers, I thought, Mav, they hurt themselves here. You know, they needed a second receiver. They needed somebody to go with Devontae Adams. The guys they have done a decent job, but it was time to put a little something, a little extra sizzle out there on the end for Aaron Rodgers. And Will Fuller would have been the perfect guy to do that, a deep threat, somebody that can complement what Adams does, who's not a burner. And you could have got a burner like Fuller, and that sounded like it was the deal that was the closest to actually happening. But the two teams just couldn't come to terms on what they wanted to do. I think it's a bit on both ends, Moff. I mean, they don't lose Fuller for nothing. So Houston, take whatever it is that you could have got. And on the Packers, what are you worried about here? Second round pick, third round pick. Those are deals that need to be made, Mav, especially if you're the Packers and you're looking to take a step further than you did last year.
Yeah, and if you're Houston especially, too, I know you're going to go in the whole situation. We hear this all the time from analysts where you're going to bring in a new guy to head up your front office. You don't want to trade away any assets. Like you said, you're going to lose him anyway, most likely. So if anything, you're the Texans. You need to bring in assets. You've given up so many assets. Bill O'Brien, before you got rid of him, gave up your draft stock for the next 3-4 years. You know, like, he gave up your whole cupboard here. He emptied it out to try to bring in these guys, and it didn't do any good. So you need to get picks back. You should trade at least one, if not two, of those guys, and Cooks and Fuller, to get something back. So you have something there for the next GM or, you know, personnel director, however you're going to do it, whoever's in charge, to make picks in these drafts. Otherwise, you know, how are you going to do anything around Watson? You're going to be capped out. You're going to have no picks. You're just going to be stuck in the same loop over and over again. Groundhog's Day of your team being like this with, you know, J.J. Watt being hurt and out and Watson running around and getting his head taken off because no one can protect him. And you can do nothing about it because you have no money and no picks. So I thought that was a very bad job by them. Like you said, Green Bay, you know, you already ticked off Aaron Rodgers in the offseason by going after Love. I don't completely blame you for that. You need the QB of the future, but you could have gotten some great wide receivers there, like, you know, you talked about earlier today. Justin Jefferson, when he got picked by Minnesota, I'm like, that's an awesome pick. This kid's going to be incredible, and he has been on a very bad team. If you put him with, you know, Aaron Rodgers, imagine what he would be doing right now. And if you look at their stats, you know, Adams has been great. He's a badass when he's been in there, but he's been banged up. And other than that, like, your second best receiver stat-wise is Tonyan, your tight end. And after that, your second best, you know, your third best stat-wise guy and your second best actually receiver catching the ball is less than half, is just over half of what you were getting from Adams. So it's a big gap between what your best guy is doing and what everyone else is. And you need to get him some help. You need to do it. You didn't get in the offseason in the draft, and you had a chance today and you didn't do it again. So I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, and a couple of other teams maybe could have did something. You know, the Ravens probably could have used another receiver. It seemed like there was a lot of receivers out there to get. I never believed that the big names that even we talked about on Coast to Coast yesterday with Keith and, you know, listen, the J.J. Watts, who may, you know, should he have been dealt? You know, would have been better for him and for the team probably, but he wasn't getting dealt, or Matt Ryan or Michael Thomas. These guys weren't getting traded. They just weren't. I mean, maybe Gilmore was close with the Pats, but they wanted a first rounder, so no dice. And the Cowboys are like, we'll end the trade deadline thing here with the Cowboys. You know, they're in the position that they're in. They're screwed no matter what, Moff. Okay, they're not winning they're not even going to win this NFC East as bad as it is. Philadelphia already has a win over them. They can't stop anybody. They've got this guy, DiNucci, who, and thankfully for them, they're going to at least, it sounds like, try, I mean, God, Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush. You know, they're going to give these guys an opportunity. That tells you how bad Ben DiNucci, who shouldn't be playing quarterback in the NFL, that shows you how bad it is, Moff. They're going to let those two guys possibly start over him this week. I can kind of see where the Cowboys, if there was a quarterback available, what's the point in giving up anything of substance? You'll just run with these couple guys, because Dalton, he ain't going to play this week now that he's on the COVID list either.
Right. I mean, I would have looked to maybe try to get another quarterback. I mean, what's going to take to get Fitzpatrick from Miami?
Cooper Rush out there.
They're just really, that completely tells you they're just waiting on Dalton to come back and thinking he can get it done. You know, why give up something else when we get this guy? But you had the concussion. Now you got COVID. It's like, what else is going to befall this guy in the next couple of weeks? He might not come back, or he might come back and get hurt again. It's just really weird. You know, once you get a concussion like that, it's pretty easy to get your bell rung again if you're rushing back. So I don't know what's going to happen to this team when you have the division so easily in your grasp. Why you don't try to do something? And then again, you know, obviously you're not going to get a long-term guy. You're not going to try to get Haskins because you got Dak. You're going to try to keep Dak. You don't want some guy you're going to try to, you know, make a reclamation project out of. But you needed to do something to bolster this lineup, or give it up and trade Alden Smith and trade, you know, whatever other assets you may have that you might not keep long-term to try to get something back and some cap relief. And instead, they just pretty much sat back and did nothing. And I guess that's going to win the division. But what's the point of going to the playoffs if you're not going to compete in there?
No, you're absolutely right. It just is what it is right now. If you're the Cowboys and they're going to be in trouble here for the rest of the season, what a shame that's going to be. So trade deadline, an absolute bust. When we come back, Moff, we'll get into this 49er-Packer game a little bit. Lines continues to move. The 49ers are going to be missing a ton of guys. The Packers now are basically going to have no running backs. Me and you could be playing running back for the Packers on Thursday night in San Francisco. So interesting game. We'll get into that. Maybe a couple of the other games that are coming up this weekend. We've got more stuff to do as well. It is a no live sports night, but plenty to do. 844-843-6879 to get involved. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the Bench rolls on right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty all week long here on the Bench. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Let's get into Mafia this Thursday night game a little bit. We've got Packers and 49ers coming up on Thursday, hopefully. Things are still looking okay. We know that the Packers are having a COVID situation in their running back room, starting with A.J. Dillon on Sunday. Now, of course, Jamal Williams not going to play. Now, if this game was on Sunday, Mav, he probably could have played because the Ravens have a similar situation with all these guys who are close contact, as they say, with Marlon Humphrey, saying if they come up negative all week, they'll be able to play on Sunday. But Thursday just wasn't enough time for Williams to be able to clear all those protocols. So that means, Mav, that they're going to have guys who have, I believe, have taken a total of 15 snaps or carries, I should say, 15 total carries in their NFL careers in the backfield. Now, last year, the 49ers absolutely whacked the Packers twice, once in the regular season, once in the NFC Championship game. But as we know, a very different 49er team this year. They are banged up, tons of injuries. They've been missing their defensive line since the first couple weeks of the season. They have no Jimmy G now. They have no George Kittle now. Running backs go down left and right. Very different 49er team from last year, Moff. This opened at Packers minus 2.5 the other day. Even with their COVID situation, the running backs, it has now gone, Mafia, to minus 5.5 for the Packers on the road on Thursday night in Frisco. What's your couple of early leans you got here as we get ready for this game on Thursday night?
Yeah, well, I'm leaning on the Packers still. I mean, I know that I shouldn't, especially after last week with the way that I got burned by them against Minnesota. But there's no Dalvin Cook on the side of San Francisco. And, you know, we've seen that not only are the Packers, obviously, with their COVID situation, injury situation, trouble with line, with running back, but San Francisco is. It seems like, you know, you play running back for San Francisco, you're ending up on the IR within 2 to 3 weeks. You know, you just got Coleman back, and then all of a sudden, after your other guy went down and put him on the IR, then now he's out on the IR again. And it's just a no-win situation. But, you know, not only are they missing running backs, like you said, they're missing probably one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the NFL. They're missing their quarterback. You're going to go to Mullins or Beathard or whoever you throw in there. It doesn't matter. They're going to trash. And on the other side, you have Aaron Rodgers. And while they have their issues and they don't have the depth at wide receiver we'd want, they have enough. They have Adams, they have Runyon, they have guys that can catch the ball, and that's all you need because you don't have anything on the other side for San Francisco, and it's going to be an ugly game. It might not be a blowout like it should, but it's still probably going to be ugly enough that they pull away and they win probably by at least 8 to 10 points, and it's going to be another terrible Thursday night game. I mean, this is a situation where it really stinks because the NFL, you know, how much the TV packages run this, because they should just look at this game and say, listen, you know, you got the COVID, let's push it back, put it on Sunday, put it on Monday, like all these other games that they've done to give time to make sure things are clear. And they're not doing that with this game. You know, mostly I've read about it mostly because, you know, those other ones, it was a breakout by the home team because it's, you know, breakout on the Packers and not on San Francisco. They're seeing it as, okay, well, you know, that team's got to go there, and they're getting away from their building where there was the virus to this other team who hasn't had reports of the virus. If it was in Green Bay, this would very likely be pushed. But because it's in San Francisco, they're going to let it just ride out and give us another terrible Thursday night game because they have less worry about COVID being in San Francisco's locker room than they do about, you know, delaying a game on their TV partner.
Yeah, and the immortal Dexter Williams, legendary running back, he is going to be getting probably the lion's share of the work for the Packers on Thursday night in Frisco. A game like this, I look at it 5.5. I don't love it, especially with the way the Packers have played really since the Tampa Bay game. They have not been sharp. But there's one factor here, Mafi. When you look around at both of these teams and you say, all right, well, the Packers have no running backs. The 49ers now are down to Nick Mullins, who stinks, by the way. He stinks, Nick Mullins. You saw enough of him earlier in the year to know what you're going to get. Nick Mullins, a bunch of running backs out for them. Coleman, I think, finally just came back for them. Their defense is all banged up. No Kittle. There's one guy, though, Mafia, who is going to be there, and that's Aaron Rodgers. So when I look at all of the people who aren't playing, the best guy on the field still is. So when a situation like that presents itself to me, I am going to go and lay the points with him because I know that I can count on him. I've seen him do it in the past. And in a game that features a lot of question marks, he's one that I know I don't have to worry about because he'll find these other guys, whether it's Tanyan, Adams will play. He'll find a way to score points. And I just don't know how the 49ers are going to be able to. I think it's an under game. 49.5 seems a little high, but these Thursday night games have been kind of silly with the scoring. But I think when you have Rodgers out there, that's a safe enough play to me to stay with the Packers laying 5.5. Anything under a touchdown here with Rodgers, I'm good taking.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I know that the unders are, you know, not a fun thing to play and not one that's very popular or, you know, that was very good in the first couple weeks. I think it started to climb down. I think I saw last week it was 9-5 with the over.
So just, not fun at all, Mom. Never fun.
You know, it's dangerous too because we talked about all the injuries on the San Francisco side and you say, okay, well, Aaron Rodgers, like he's going to put up points. But it's one of those situations we have to look at and say, okay, but can San Francisco? You need 2 to 10 to hit an over. It's very rare you get an over, you know, from one team just lighting up the scoreboard. You need both to put up points and get in double digits, at least, or, you know, close to 20, at least 17 from one side. I don't know if you're going to get that from San Francisco, despite how Green Bay's defense is pretty mediocre. The talent that they're facing in San Francisco with all the injuries that they've had is even more mediocre and more pathetic. And I think that, you know, like you said, it's probably leading towards the under because of it's going to be the Aaron Rodgers show, and that's about it.
And I just went and looked because I wanted to see if they put a lot of the props out yet for this game on Thursday night. So I just checked FanDuel. They don't have all of the, you know, the yards or the completions and things like that. But here's what they do have up right now, Moff. Anytime touchdowns is already up. Now, they have Aaron Jones still up there. Reports are Aaron Jones most likely not going to play in this game on Thursday night, which is why the great Dexter Williams name has been thrown around so much. Right now, Mafia, FanDuel, Dexter Williams to score a touchdown, anytime touchdown on Thursday night, +380. And when they rule Jones out, that is going to change. Even if Jones plays as a decoy, Mafia, I can't see him out there that enough. Right now might be a good time, at least between now, you know, tomorrow. Don't wait till Thursday because this will drop. Dexter Williams +380. That seems like a strong anytime touchdown prop to play for Thursday night.
Yeah, that seems like a good one. And, you know, I'd have to look. What is the anytime touchdown for your boy Aaron Rodgers, because I could see him running one in too.
Plus, I'm
sure those odds are pretty big.
Plus 500.
That's pretty good one, I think.
For Rodgers, you know, to get a rushing touch, to get any time, you know, a rushing touchdown. So that's pretty good for him. You know, they're putting all the big numbers are on the receivers. You know, Adams is -175. Tanyan is +170. St. Brown +300. You know, even MVS is +310. That's not bad either, but Rodgers at +500, Dexter Williams +380. Those are some nice plays maybe if you want to get in. And for the Niners, look, like I said, they've got nobody playing. I guess McKinnon could be in the mix at plus 200 for them. We talked about this guy today, right? Didn't Keith Irizarry today bring up Ross Dwelly, the tight end who's going to be filling in for Kittle, plus 250. Bad for Ross. We get Ross a touchdown on Thursday night, but I think we stay to the Packers side here, Mafia. And
yeah,
we
go. I think you definitely do.
And I might, and I'm going to do this either tonight or tomorrow morning. I'm going to make sure that I invest in Dexter Williams before everybody starts flooding that market on Thursday morning, because I want to make sure that I get a piece of that. A bunch of other games we'll touch on. Some of the lines moving. I noticed, Moff, that the Chiefs were 12 and a half the other day. They're hosting the Panthers on Sunday. It's now down to 10 and a half. There's an interesting little Chiefs coming off pounding the Jets. You got Carolina after losing on Thursday night to the Falcons at home. A couple points drop, you know, in the Panthers' direction. I don't know. I mean, you think the Panthers hang around in Kansas City on Sunday?
I do not. I think the Panthers are doing, you know, pretty well in the beginning of the season. I thought they were surprising a lot of people, surprising me, because I had the under on their wins. What was it, 5? I had the under there. I thought it was going to be just a terrible plotting season for them. But Teddy Bridgewater has got some nice wins here with these guys, with Anderson and some of these other guys. Even with CMC out, you figure once he went down, you know, that's the end of the season. But they didn't do that at all. These guys have really stepped up and made some great, you know, plays. Davis running the ball for them. You know, I think that they played well together as a team. You know, a scrappy bunch, but it doesn't matter when you're going against Kansas City. You know, there is just about nobody. I mean, even Kansas City, as you saw against the Jets, even if they mess around, they blow you out. You know, unless you are a top echelon elite team with a great defense, maybe you have a chance to stick around then. I mean, even how long did they mess with New England in that game and then still, you know, cover the spread? Like, they like to play possum if they can, but if they don't have to and they could just run you out and run you in the ground, there's no way Carolina's keeping up with them at all.
Yeah, especially at home. You know, if the game was in Carolina, maybe I'd think about it a little bit more, you know, because we have seen some of these bigger teams maybe on the road. Tampa last night is very fresh in our minds of how they went to MetLife and played a pretty close game with the Giants as 12.5 point favorites on the road. But at home, you'd like to think Kansas City in a 10.5 spot against them should be good. The Bear-Titan game is interesting to me too, Mafia, because the Titans' defense has not been good. They've given up points, but as we know, the Bear offense stinks. So that game at 5.5 right now for the Titans intrigues me a little bit with the Titans coming off losing 2 in a row. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you. We're in for Scotty all week long, 844-843-6879. When we come back, Joe Douglas thinks that Adam Gase is part of the solution. You are a liar, sir. Pharrell on the bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you all week while Scotty is on vacation. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Going through some of the games coming up here. Week 9 in the NFL. We went through the Thursday night game. A couple of those two lines. We were just talking about this during the break, Mop. And these two lines kind of stick out to you a little bit. And we're going to get into the Jets, the Joe Douglas press conference today, which I know Mafia probably loved. We'll talk about Joe Douglas here in a minute. But two lines really stick out here. The Raiders were 4-3, just came off a road win in Cleveland. Now, I understand they're going on the road second week in a row. They're going out to L.A. to face the Chargers, who just blew another 16-plus point lead, their fourth of the season. And right now, Mafia, Chargers minus 1.5 point favorites at home. So I guess this is telling me that even though the Raiders are the better team and they're coming off a win in Cleveland, maybe not everybody buying into the Raiders quite yet and need to see a little more, Mon.
Yeah, that's very surprising to me. That's the same line that they got in Cleveland last week. That one I understood a little bit more. This one, like you said, the Chargers, they keep blowing fourth quarter leads. I mean, Herbert's looked good, but you can't get the wins. They keep blowing it late. They keep giving it up. And with the way that the Raiders looked, you know, I don't say they're going to look great in Cleveland where they just blew them off, you know, and just dominated the game or anything like that. They won by 10, but it was a tight game throughout. 16-6 isn't a blowout by any means, but still, you know, you got to think that they're a better team getting back on track. I know that, you know, they had the issues with COVID and had a little bit of a sluggish performance against Tampa after they, you know, came off of that, but they started to get back on track last week, and the Chargers keep blowing things. So I don't know if I would believe that this is a game where, you know, the Chargers should be favored, even though they're at home. I think with the young quarterback, maybe it should be flipped the other way, or maybe a 2 or 3 point spread towards Vegas. So that seems very odd to me. Seems like something's, you know, fishy that I'm not noticing, because I don't know why that spread is the way it is.
Yeah, it is really tricky, because you would think that it would move the other way. I actually thought it opened at Chargers -3. So it's moved a couple points in the Raider direction. People just not completely buying into the Raiders yet, but that early money on them pushed that line up a little bit. Other one, Moff, is the Raven-Colt game. The Colts are coming off a win in Detroit over the Lions. Ravens coming off the loss at home to the Steelers. Ravens right now -2.5 road favorites. I did see this, Mafia, yesterday at one point. At -3 for the Ravens. And a low total, you know, 45. They're looking for a little bit of a defensive struggle indoors, which is rare. A Lamar Jackson bounce back, possibly. You know, Rivers, he does stink. I know that they beat up on the Lions last week. -2.5 for the Ravens. It seems so easy, Mafia. Just go ahead and take the Ravens, -2.5, right?
Yeah, that seems very, very shady to me. I mean, I know that they just lost to Pittsburgh. I know, you know, we've talked about how he doesn't come through the big games, and that, of course, you had Indianapolis have a nice game last week against Detroit, but are we really buying into Indianapolis being a good team and being better than Lamar Jackson, the MVP, and, you know, the defense that they have? I'm not. You know, I think last week Hines made Rivers win that game. It wasn't Rivers that won that game. It was Hines. That guy made some great plays and some great catches coming out of the backfield that really were hard to catch and should have been touchdowns the way they ended up. You know, the floaters that he was throwing out there for him, he's lucky people didn't jump out those routes somehow and pick six him, because they were just lofted out there. And obviously he's probably throwing it that way because there is nobody there, but still, I don't think they were good throws. I don't think he performed overwhelmingly good for us to start buying this team as a contender. Really, they have a strong defense, but I don't think their defense on the level of Pittsburgh or some of these other teams that can really shut down Lamar Jackson like Kansas City and Pittsburgh have, you know, started to do, especially in the second halves of those games. I think this is more a scenario where it might be a tight game, might be a tough game, that might make him work for it, and then the second half, Baltimore takes over and shuts down Phillip Rivers, probably sacks him a couple times, maybe even knocks him out of the game, and I'm rolling Baltimore, but maybe I'm just seeing something that's not there, and the book is, you know, has some kind of information that we don't know, because it just seems too easy to me.
Yeah, it does. And that's one that I'm going to look at a little bit more over the next couple days, because I might try to find a way to take the Colts on Sunday. I'm going to try to find a way. I'm going to dig into it a little deeper over the next couple days. That's why we like looking at these things a few days in advance. So there's something like that that sticks out to you. You got to dig a little bit more. One more for you. We talked last night, Steelers 7-0. They're coming off of two emotional big wins at Tennessee, at Baltimore, and now they go to Dallas this week. We mentioned a couple segments ago that we know the Dallas quarterback situation. Ben DiNucci, Cooper Rush, Garrett Gilbert, whoever's going to play. Still under two touchdowns, Mafia. -13.5 for the Steelers right now in Dallas on Sunday. That's the big 425 national game on CBS. Even a little bit of a slip up for the Steelers. Maybe they win this game by 10. Maybe they mess around a little bit. It's so hard to think that, though, with these absolute stiffs that the Cowboys are going to roll out there at quarterback. It's so hard to go. If Dalton was playing, maybe. But with these hacks, it's hard for me to try to back the Cowboys on Sunday.
Oh, there's no way I'm backing the Cowboys. Either I'm playing the Steelers or I'm staying away, you know, depending on what the spread is. You know, it was, 9.5 earlier today before we got the official word Dalton was out. So even with him in there, they thought they were going to get blown out. Now without him, it's jumped another 4 points because, you know, whether it's DiNucci or what's even Gilbert Grape, as Scott likes to call him, or, you know, Color Rush Jersey Boy, it's just, it's a bad situation for them, and it's terrible, and they're going to look awful, and they're going to have to rely on Zeke and the defense, and the defense, which gets lit up left and right, is not going to stop Chase Claypool. It's not going to stop, you know, Connor the way he's running it. At 13.5, I could still get in on it, I can still feel okay. I'm not going to say I feel comfortable or, you know, confident to that degree, because anytime you're laying that many points, it's iffy. I mean, I teased the Chiefs down last week against the Jets. First time I bet against my Jets, and I had to tease that down because of how high it was. And still, at 13.5, I'm like, ooh, at times, you know, when the Jets were getting field goals, I wasn't feeling great about it still. So laying that much is always scary, always tough to do. I mean, I would say definitely tease it down if you can to be more confident, you know, with some other bets. But as far as that game straight up, I lean Pittsburgh right now. But if it gets over 14, if now you got to lay, you know, 14.5, 15, then it's getting really dicey. And I'm saying, you know what, just stay away, play, or, you know, play props, play something else, play a teaser, and just stay away from, you know, that spread, because it's getting dicey, it's getting itchy for me, and I'm worried about it.
And the total's 41.5, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, the total, the Cowboy defense is so bad. I feel like the Steelers can get to that 42 by themselves. But that would also mean that I kind of like the minus 13.5 then. I don't expect the Cowboys to score that many points. That could be a total that I'm going to be interested in. You know, what could the Cowboys possibly contribute? 3 or 10 points? Now, they didn't give up that many points to the Eagles last week, but the Eagles stink too. And before that Eagle game, they had gone 6 straight games giving up like 20-plus points in the first half. So that streak got broken in the Eagle game. Eagles are awful offensively. I think the Steelers, with what they bring, Big Ben coming in, you got Juju, you got Claypool, that offense, I think the 13.5 and the over 41.5 are going to be good plays there. Moff, I got to get to your general manager, because when I saw that Joe Douglas was doing like a mid-season, you know, not so, just kind of an update of what's going on, you know, after the trade deadline. And he made two statements that I thought were very telling. Now, I don't take anything that Joe Douglas says for a grain of salt, because he also said, Mafia, right, that Jamal Adams was going to be a Jet. He never said he was going to trade him. And then sure enough, you know, a week or two later, he goes and trades Jamal Adams. But he said that Adam Gase, part of the solution, and now he doesn't make this decision. Ownership, the GM has no power with the Jets organization to hire and fire the coach. It is an ownership decision. So Joe can say this, but for him to even sit there, and I know he's his buddy, Mafia, even sit there and insinuate, and he's part of the solution when the team's 0-8, they clearly haven't been playing for the guy. How can you even say that today?
Yeah, that's completely just trying not to lose his team and trying not to lose the rest of the season. Obviously, they're going to lose the rest of the season, but you know, you don't want to just give up on the fan base and everyone and just say, yeah, you know, it's lost, whatever, that's what it is. You know, once you say that, hey, this guy is not part of our future, you're losing these players. They're not playing for him. Right. They're not going to listen to him. You know, if you say that he's part of the solution and act like he's going to stick around, then they still have to, you know, worry about their jobs and worry about, you know, putting their all in to make sure that they can be around, because this guy, you know, in their mind is going to be the one evaluating him. Now, that's probably not true. We know that. I know he's friends of him. You know, even Douglas, who is a buddy of Gase's and who, you know, probably was helped a little bit by Gase trying to get the organization to bring him in, has to sit there and look at him and be like, listen, dude, I love you, but this isn't happening. You know, something's not working here, and we need a complete overhaul. And whether it's, you know, they might say, hey, you know, the Williams is a friction with him and get rid of him or something like that, but I can't see that. I think they have to clean house and start over, has to bring in his own guys completely. And, you know, you got to throw a bunch of money at Eric Bieniemy or one of these other top guys and try to get them in there and try to rebuild this program, because you can't do it with Gase. I think he's showing that. And that's not what you want to do with Sam, you know, necessarily, is restart him if he is your quarterback of the future, as then you said as well.
Yes.
That's another situation where you want – it's all like not wanting to diminish the value of these players, in my mind. It's that you want these guys to play hard because you want to trade some of them, and you want to make sure, you know, you see what their talent that they have and if they're going to stick around for next year. And you're not going to be able to evaluate them like that if they give up on the season for the next 8 games because they don't care. The coach isn't going to be there anyway. So they're about, you know, trying to play hard and trying to get something because they want to make some trades, make some moves, and do what they need to do to rebuild. And he knows that. So that, I think that's what that the posturing was. And you want Sam Darnold to play his best and not just say, you know, hey, yeah, we stink and we're going to get rid of this guy in the offseason, because you want to try to get some return on him. You don't want to just release him and lose that pick that you put into him. You want to get something out of him when you draft Trevor Lawrence and have to get rid of him. So you want everybody to do their best so they actually have some value at the end of the season, even though they really have none right now.
The way he just said it, though, today with Darnold, you know, he is our franchise quarterback of the future. You know, like, very, like, when you make a statement like that, you're making it with no gray area whatsoever. Like, there's no gray area. Like, people, we're not stupid, Joe. We know the situation here. You have a generational talent who is going to be available at the first pick of the draft, and your team is so bad that you are in the driver's seat to get this player. So he made just such a, man, like, you know, such a final statement. He is our quarterback in the future. And I know, I agree with you. It's hard to go up there and say things that, you know, could hurt him, whether it's trade value or whether it's his performance the rest of the year. But I didn't think that Joe had to be so definitive, because he already looked like a liar with the Jamal Adams thing. He already looked silly with that. And Now he's going to, people are going to look back to today and what he said when the time comes in the spring, when he finally does have to get rid of Sam Darnold because he's going to draft Trevor Lawrence, that they're going to go back to this and say, why are we ever going to listen to you, Joe? That's what they're going to do, Moff.
I think they're going to do that more with Jamal Adams than with this. I think this, they know that he's just, you know, blowing hot air and trying to, you know, salvage what he can out of this situation. I think Jamal Adams was the bigger, betrayal to many people, because he was the most talented player they had, and he was a cornerstone. But you know what? In the end, they did get a lot for him. You know, the relationship got soured. And that, again, is probably on someone on Gase. And I'm sure Greg Williams wasn't the guy saying trade Jamal Adams. So it's on Gase, and that's on the franchise. And, you know, he made the best that he could out of the situation, got some good pieces for him, and we'll see what happens from those picks that they got. But I think that was a bigger, you know, statement that's going to blow up in his face than supporting Gase and Darnold in the middle of an 0-8 season when we know he's lying.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the Jets, of course, Monday night at home against the New England Patriots. We'll see if Bill Belichick is maybe going to throw that one the Jets' way so that maybe they won't get Trevor Lawrence in the spring. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you all week. Scotty out on vacation, 844-843-6879. We will come back. We will wrap up hour number one. We still have a lot to do. We've got Maction tomorrow night, Mafia. And hour number two, we're going to get to the Maction. Carver High and Mafia. Pharrell on the bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia here with you. Scotty on vacation all week, 844-843-6879. We're wrapping up our number one. Mafia, Antonio Brown is in. He is ready to go on Sunday for the Bucs. Of course, they beat the Giants last night. Today they announced he is on. He's going to play on Sunday. Mafia, they have not put it up yet on FanDuel, but I don't care if it's the only catch he gets on Sunday. I am running to the window with the Antonio Brown anytime touchdown prop. Tom looked for him in Miami last year. Tom drools Brown. You know it, Moff. I am running to the window to throw a couple of bucks on Antonio Brown to score a touchdown on Sunday night against the Saints.
Oh, yeah. You know he's going to look for him. Tom looks for his best plays, looks for his, you know, his favorite targets. He's always done that with Gronk after they just, you know, started scoring again the last couple of weeks to put him over the top of, you know, the Jerry Rice Montana duo. That shows you how much he loves throwing to his favorite guy in Gronk. He's going to do the same thing with Antonio Brown. He, you know, pretty much force-fed him the ball when he had the one game with him in New England. I mean, this guy wants him to stay on the straight and narrow so badly, he moved him to his house. So, you know, he knew after he saw in New England, he's like, hey, I brought this guy in, and you know, he screwed up. You know, he said some dumb stuff. So I'm going to make sure I have my eyes on him 24/7 so he stays on my team this time. And he's going to find him for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll wait and see what the yardage ones are going to be and things like that, because maybe those could be underplays. I don't know if he'll catch a lot of balls, but I got a feeling that Tom is going to look for him down by the end zone. And he's going to try to take care of his boy right out of the gate. All right, hour one in the books here. We're closing it up. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week. Pharrell on the bench. Hour two coming up. We'll talk Maction. We'll talk college football. We'll talk about Deontay Wilder making excuses. MLB announcing the Gold Glove Awards on a night when nobody could possibly care about it. We with Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia. We roll on right after this.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.